on your smart speakers, smartphones, online, and on Amazon TV. This is Sound Radio Wales.
You're listening to Sound Radio 103.1 FM. It's Kel here. And today I am joined by McElroy. So do you want to say hi, guys?
Hello.
Oh, hold on. There we go. Say hello again.
Hello. Rehearsed.
So we've got Steve and Chris here. And also, I've just had a WhatsApp in from Lewis, which is the other brother in the band.
What's he said?
He has just said, sorry, I'm working hard today, unlike those two bums. Brackets, just joking.
Yeah, because we were going to go home and beat him up then, weren't we?
Poop. We're not allowed to swear, so we can say poop.
Definitely.
Beat the poop out of him.
Hey, Chris, come a little bit closer.
Sorry.
Otherwise, Steve will just overshadow you, can't I? Can't
be.
It's because he's got a louder voice than me.
You can't be having that. So we were trying, and we started to have a little chat off air, and then I've just basically stopped them talking because I think everyone needs to hear all of it, really. So do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves?
Well, I'm Steve, and I'm the best-looking brother.
I'll wait for Lewis's text in a minute as well.
I'm Chris. I'm the middle one, but I look the oldest, so I look like I've had a really hard life.
Yeah.
Beard and everything. I'd have to stand next to Lewis, who's like the most chisel-chin, good-looking.
Yeah, he looks a bit like Patrick Swayze.
He's got great teeth, Lewis, hasn't he?
He's got very white. Yeah. If he smiles and you've not got sunglasses on, sometimes...
Is it like the scene in Friends with Ross and he like lights up the room?
Yeah.
Sorry, Lewis.
Yeah, you get a suntan off Lewis's teeth.
Oh, amazing. Well, it sounds like great teeth. I'm going to wait for the WhatsApp. It'll be in a second. Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little bit about how it all started. So you guys have been a band since you were really young, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I was 13. You were, what, 11, 12?
Yeah.
Something like that. So basically there was a guy, and my mum and dad wanted us to be musicians or me to play the piano.
Okay.
So she ended up, my mum and dad ended up seeing a piano player in a pub. He was only about 18 himself at the time. Anyway, said, well, you come and teach our Steve how to play the keyboard.
Yeah, it didn't matter about me and Lewis. Just as long as Steven.
Yeah.
There's always a I'm one of three. There's always a golden child.
So he comes round the next day on the Sunday and he teaches me to play whatever he taught me to play. And what we realised is he could play the guitar as well.
Ah.
So he ended up teaching Chris the same songs I used to play on the keyboard. So we sort of automatically became a band by accident,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah. So you'd learn like the piano pieces to like Wonderwall.
Yeah, nice.
And then he'd teach me.
Great song to start with.
Yeah, it was. And, well, our first gig, we only knew, I think.
It was about four songs.
Yeah, four songs, and we had to play them about three times over.
You had to play 10 songs.
But I think one of them was Oasis, one of them was Anything for Love by Meatloaf, and one of the others was Nothing Else Matters by Metallica.
One of the first songs I ever remember learning with Scott was Spaceman by Babylon Zoo.
Oh, nice.
It was amazing. I remember going into school playing it to my mates, and they were like, oh, Steve, that's dead cool.
That was the coolest song for a long time as well.
Oh, so cool, yeah. Still cool now. I still love it.
Still clinging on then, yeah?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I'll never move away from the 90s ever.
Oh, we were just playing Five, weren't we? I love that. Okay, so when you formed a band, you did form one when you were kind of teenagers, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
Lewis wasn't a teenager.
Lewis was like seven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was,
wow.
Yeah.
He was about seven. He had a little electric drum machine.
Nice.
Yeah.
So basically me and... Well, the way it started was me and Chris were doing what we were doing. Chris sang anyway, didn't you?
Yeah. Tried to.
Yeah. And then we were doing a talent show in Talacra Beach Club.
Amazing.
Was our first thing that we were going to do. And it was just going to be me and Chris anyway. We were rehearsing in the living room and playing Wonderwall, but just like an instrumental version of Wonderwall. And Lewis came in at like six or seven singing Wonderwall.
Nice.
And you know where you go, that was, although he's that old, that was actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, he was a little kid. Like, anyway, we entered the competition and won.
Nice.
But the prize was loads of alcohol.
inappropriate price.
It was so instead of us winning like, you know, 500 quid and like loads of lager, it was 500 quid and some Skittles.
I think they ran to the local shop, didn't they, and filled a basket full of sweets, and that was our prize on the night.
Nice. Okay. So after that point, what happened? So the band was called XL, was it, back in the day?
It was, yeah.
I do remember we were chatting just off air before. I'm sort of, I think, somewhere in between Lewis and Chris in age, so I do remember XL being quite popular when I was in high school.
So you're really young then.
Yeah.
Really young if you know you're near me in age.
I do remember you being quite popular in like playing at a lot of parties and in some pubs and stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, we kind of ended up on the kind of sort of pub club scene doing covers, but we also wrote music as well. So we started working on like a 4-track EP. And we recorded it in a local recording studio called Rockcliffe in Llandudno. And we kind of more did it just... We wanted to sort of be like, you know, the Jackson 5, the Osmonds, like a brothers group.
Yeah. It was
like
North Wales version.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of pushed. Obviously, my mum and dad, you know, they pushed us a lot. And, you know, they did, you know, they kind of...
Not like the Jacksons, Dad. They didn't push us like that.
Just, I love that. Your mum's listening, so just to clarify.
There were no bricks or whips involved.
I'm sorry, mum.
You will be sorry, Chris. You will be.
And so we ended up recording this 4-track EP. And I don't know if you ever saw it, quite a few people have still got it. It's like a yellow EP, and we're wearing baseball t-shirts on the front. We thought we were really cool.
We actually thought we were like five.
I mean, if anyone's got a picture of that and they want to send it in via the WhatsApp, I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
So, pop that in. The number's 07426752075. I want to see the picture.
well, randomly, if I'm allowed to say this, if you go on YouTube, the album, the old original EP, is actually up under XL on YouTube. So there's a few nice cheesy photographs.
super cheesy, you know, where you used to wear like silver jackets and stuff like that,
and point your finger on a photograph like yeah and you think, who's that guy?
Check me out.
Do you not do that anymore? No,
it has happened a few times.
We do, we just don't publish the photographs.
In fact, we were having the photographs done a couple of weeks ago, and for this, you know, the song that we've released today, and we actually mimicked one of the pictures that we did for a laugh, didn't we? Where I'm stood behind with my elbows on Lewis and Stephen's shoulders pointing. And so it was kind of funny to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, we're actually naturally very good at super cheesy poses.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a talent. We're going to go to another track, then we're going to have another chat with you in a bit, and then we'll be playing your song later. So again, I'll just repeat the text number for everybody who's listening, so you can send in some questions, because I'll be asking some questions in a second. So it's 07426752075, and next up we've got Ed Sheeran. That was Ed Sheeran, and it's Kel here on Sound Radio 103.1 FM, the big sound of the North Wales coast. And today I'm joined by the Mikael Rorys.
Hello.
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 That was a very sexy hello.
I love the introductions are literally just changing every time. Hello, hello.
Bonjour.
Oh, different languages now. I love it. So we were chatting before about kind of how you started as a band when you were younger, XL. So then what happened after that? So we got to the point, I think you said you recorded the initial EP. So explain after that. Obviously, did you kind of part ways? Did you go a bit further before you parted ways?
To be honest, we were together for quite a while, and we went through a lot of, because of that first EP, we got loads of management interest.
Awesome.
So the first manager we had was a company called Captain Courageous.
Amazing,
wasn't it?
What a name for a
company. That was amazing.
they had a band in the charts at the time, an indie band, which was quite far from what we were. And
well, we had one indie song, didn't we?
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, because our EP was so diverse. You know, we had a pop track, an indie track, a rock ballad.
Yeah, and a rap.
And a rap song, yeah.
Nice.
And we were doing the reopening of the Arndale Centre after the bomb. They asked us to come and do it, and there was us and Ryan Giggs and stuff like that. So we couldn't believe our luck, really.
Yeah.
And this management company turned up and watched the performance, and then approached our parents afterwards, because obviously we were so young, everything had to go through our parents. And they just basically said, we'd like to manage him, and we think we could actually get them a record contract. And it kind of all launched from there, kind of pursuing record contracts. We got quite close and we ended up doing a lot of showcases, and it resulted in us being signed to 19 Management, as well as the management that we had. They had a partnership deal. Yeah. And they had the Spice Girls at the time. And
wow, awesome. So, I'm sure they're on my place. I'm like a massive, like, 90s pop
S Club
fan.
7.
S Club 7, yeah.
They were always in the offices, S Club 7. We saw, and Kavner. Do you ever remember Kavner?
Yeah, yes.
He was always there as well.
I love that you're just dropping these names. Like these. Yeah. This is like when I was a kid, this was basically my my teenage room of posters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have an Axel one, but you know,
no,
sorry about
see,
that,
you're
guys.
Missing out there. You're missing out there. But yeah, so we did that with 19. And then it was more to do with management disagreement between our current manager and 19, and that sort of fell apart. So we went back, wrote a load of new songs. And then we got another manager at the time, which was Mike Peters from The Alarm.
Okay.
Who's like a local hero,
rock star.
Yeah, yeah.
And as we were growing up, our song style was sort of changing because you're growing up and you're getting into what you're getting into as well. Yeah. And we were constantly writing music. I mean, I know it sounds super cheesy, but that's all we did when we got up. We didn't really go out loads, did we? We were just... I know it's three brothers all sat writing songs together, but it was basically doing that. And that our childhood was basically writing songs all the time.
Yeah.
And anyway, we had that. We got a load more record label interest from the new set of songs we had. We got RCA Records wanted to have a look at us, so they flew us over to New York. So we went over there, got picked up in a limo, all that. Yeah, and as your teenage,
I was just going to say that's a teenage, literally dream, isn't it?
That was amazing.
You think you've made it?
Yeah.
I mean, we remember one night in New York. At the time, WWF was massive, and they would pick us up from our hotel.
The World Wildlife Federation.
not that one.
No, the one with the rock in it. Yeah.
And they picked us up from our hotel, and the hotel was like super posh compared to what we'd ever stayed in. Lennox Lewis was staying in our hotel because
he
had a fight in Madison Square Gardens. So you'd literally be in the lobby and he would be there with his entourage and you think, oh, this is
amazing.
This is what being famous is all about. And they took us to the WWF restaurant and there was a queue all the way around the block. And because RCA Records obviously have a lot of clout, they just walked us straight to the front of the line.
Literally, like celebrities.
Yeah, and the people, let them in. And you can see people in the crowd, like, looking, saying, like, who's that?
Who are they?
It's like we're name dropping now. We're just, like, it's nostalgic as well.
So I'm just going to pick some of these names off the floor.
That's it. Yeah. Madison Square Garden, we got on the basketball court when no one was there, messing on the basketball court. Just all the restaurants we went in, there was TRL. Was big at the time, might still be big now. We got in the window of TRL, so all the people downstairs didn't know we were, because we weren't anyone. But they thought we might have been somebody, so...
Well, I don't know, you know, all the stories you're telling, like, I know you said, you know, we didn't make it, like, exactly how you would. That, I mean, those stories are incredible, though, right?
To be able
to say you did as a teenager, like, incredible achievement. I mean, most people... I mean, I went on The X Factor, didn't get past, like, stage four or something. I didn't even get on the telly.
Join the club, that was me as well. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But Stephen and Lewis, they got through to boot camp.
Yeah, I was gonna get onto this in a sec. Yeah, you did. You got into boot camp, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It was a bit of a weird one with the X Factor because, again, it's the us being musicians that write songs. The X Factor's always been it's a bit of a touchy subject with us because. We wouldn't even class it. I mean, Chris is a fantastic singer. I will say that to you, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Aww.
You're welcome.
It's a little brotherly moment there,
isn't it? which one's the little brother, me or Stephen?
But I think with mine and Lewis's act, which is a separate act to the McElroy thing, we're a lot more bouncy and energetic. So I think for the X Factor, that was what the TV would be after. So we're more of like an entertainment thing for the X Factor. But we sort of knew the X Factor was never going to be our proper journey where we would go, because being songwriting musicians is really where our passion is.
You know. Lewis has just texted in saying, don't lie, Steve, he loves the X Factor.
So do you, Lewis. So do you.
Everyone loves the X Factor. I think, though, a little bit like I was saying about, you know, going to New York and stuff, I think X Factor, New York, they're all platforms, aren't they? And I think when you're looking for opportunity, it's just finding that that kind of space to play or to try and find the next opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, even that, the way we look at it is there's a thing called paying your dues, and us being through the mill, we've actually been musically through the mill. Yeah. People look at us, we're all quirky and we act silly and we talk daft and all that, but musically... I slipped off the table. That was embarrassing. My elbow just flew off the table.
Yeah, can I just clarify? He's not sat on the table. He didn't fall off or anything.
But having paid it that way, I think we've learned to just pick yourself up and just reattack it. The way we tend to reattack everything musically is by writing new music.
Which is great when it gives you all that experience, but also builds that resilience that you need in music. Because it's hard, isn't it, to crack anything. But especially music, you know, you can, like you said, you can get to a certain place, but then things change, management changes their opinion, all of that stuff. And then you kind of have to go down a slightly different avenue.
But we got ditched in Dublin by a management company once. They flew, they did. They flew us over.
Dropped you over.
They flew us over, all saying, you know, we're going to show you Windmill Studios, which belongs to U2. We're going to show you where you're going to be recording your album. These are the promises that you get. And don't forget, we're you know, 15, 16-year-old kids. And they took us over. They took us in Windmill Studios, which Mel C was in, pick another name up off the floor.
I'm loving this. And
Five Songwriter was in there.
You, believe it or not, Stephen actually told Five Songwriter that one of the songs was wrong.
Yeah, I told you. Do you know what song it was? You know, this song I thought was going to be a flop was If You're Getting Down.
Did you actually say that it's going
to
be a flop?
I didn't say it was going to be a flop. I thought he needs to up the production a little bit there.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah,
I think he did, because they would always show us projects that they were working on, because all musicians are the same. Let me just show you this, what I'm working on now. So they were showing us this latest thing off Five's next album, and I think you were there saying, like, wait, I think you should just change that and change
And they obviously took my advice. That's why it was
That's
a hit.
That's why it's a hit, right? Yeah. Love that.
I'm waiting for my royalties to come through.
Okay, we're going to go to one more track, and then we're going to come back and ask you some more things, and we'll be playing your song probably just after four. So if anyone is listening, stay tuned till just after four, and you have got another 15 minutes to send in some other questions. The text number is 074-26-75-20-75. Next up, we've got Florence and the Machine. With your beauty, and for a moment I forget to worry. We are back. It's Sound Radio 103.1 FM here, and it's Kel, and I'm with McElroy.
Guten Tag.
Hola.
I feel like I need to just keep doing that every time there's a new intro, just to see what we're going to be doing. Yeah. So we were speaking about X Factor before and who we'd met. I love all the name drops, loving them. Keep those coming. But we've got another bit of a celeb thing, because tell me about the new song, and we filmed the video at Greer Castle, didn't we?
Grich Castle. That's how you say
Steve.
It.
There you go.
Grich.
So yeah, Greer Castle in Abergele, which is literally just down the road from the studio, is where you filmed your video. That's pretty awesome, because not many people are allowed on there.
The thing is, we'd released the song sort of 3 months before, and we'd done it in a big studio where we'd recorded loads of bits and bobs. And then the idea for this next one was more to do it in just a big dark room. So we were looking for like leisure centres and stuff like that, just somewhere you could dim out the lights.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd sort of decided on some big room to record it in, but Lewis being, although Lewis is not here, he is super fussy over video, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, to the point where we all fall out over stuff like that. So Lewis was like, I'm not filming it in a leisure centre.
Well done, Steve. You can't swear.
I
was nearly going to have to like mute your mic.
Even I tensed up a little bit then. I was like,
so he said, let me sort it. Anyway, the next day he comes back, right, I'll tell you what I might have done is sorted out Grich Castle.
Nice.
To record it in. And he'd spoke to his mate, what's his name, Mark Baker.
Mark Baker, yeah, the guy who kind of got it all restored and stuff, isn't he?
Oh, is he? Right. Yeah. But yeah, he had a word with him and then sort of blagged us to record. So we had a date where we could record in the castle.
Nice.
But there was a bit of a situation because I said, right, because it's a piano type song and it's a big gothic-y type piano type song.
Yeah.
How are we going to get the grand piano into the castle? So Lewis is like, no, I've sorted it. You can drive the van right into the room that we'll be recording in. Are you sure? Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it gets to the day. So we're like, get the piano in the van. It takes four of us to get the piano in the van. And then we get the van down to the castle, guided round. So we said to the lad, oh, we're supposed to be able to get this piano directly in the room. So we said, no, mate, you can't do that. Because the gate's locked and I haven't got a key for the padlock. So he said, but you can take it down the stairs.
Yeah, the big famous staircase.
Yeah.
Carried a grand piano down.
So we had to carry a grand piano down about 100 stone steps.
Have you got video footage of that?
I've got scratches on my piano from it. That's what I've got. And then we get it to the bottom and you know, to just to make matters a bit worse, we couldn't fit it through the door then, could we?
No. We had to angle it just right. One of us was inside the door trying to pull it through and the others were outside. No, you're catching it there, you're catching it.
I'm basically crying because my you know, lovely piano was getting scratched everywhere.
But... like a proper, like, to me to you moment. Like, no, this way.
To me to you.
Yeah.
Oh. But we got it in there, and then once that was in there, the setup was, you know... I mean, they had all the I'm a Celebrity stuff in there. The throne was there.
And that cardboard cutout was there.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It is an awesome place anyway, but even, you know, since all the work they've done for I'm a Celeb, it's pretty epic.
Yeah.
I mean, we were having a little chat off air. I think a lot of us that grew up around Abergele probably spent some teenage years just hanging around.
Yep.
Yep. Chris is like,
I find it a shame, really, because when I used to bunk off school in there, sorry, Mum and Dad. And we'd go up there, and I mean, it was already sort of going to ruin,
yeah,
you know, when
yeah.
I was at school, but at least it had floors in it and things like that.
Yeah.
And it was quite a shock because I hadn't been up for so many years. And it was a little bit shocking when you go in there and you realise just how ruined, you know, it's got. And the fact people have done that to it. You know, they've been in there and stolen things out of it, you know, removed, you know, marble stairs and, you know, even stupid things like door frames. And, you know, people have been in and you think, how can you let such a beautiful building like this, you know, how can you do that to such a... So it was quite shocking for me, really.
You can tell you're old now, Chris, you know.
No, but it is, though, isn't it, you know. And then you've seen the pictures of it back in its heyday and things like that and... you know, it is such a shame because it is tremendously, tremendously beautiful building. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think that's obviously I'm Celebrities added to the money that they can generate. But I think that's what they're doing now, isn't it? Restoring it. So it's nice to see, like you said, it's nice to see some of the features being restored and things being back in there. And equally, like local bands or, you know, I think there was people filming there. There was also, I think, a photo shoot for a...
Louis Vuitton, I think it was.
Yeah, I was going to say for a designer. For people kind of using it for that, so it's great to have like North Wales on the map.
Well, I think the week we went asking Mark about can we use the castle, I think he'd had Disney there a week before, so, and they were scouting it for some film project that they were working on. I think they were I think they were planning on remaking Willow.
Oh, okay.
You know, the film Willow, and I think they were looking in there to see if it was suitable.
So again, just like we were saying before, you know, when you think you've, you know, made it, and then, you know, Disney's there one day, Louis Vuitton the next,
Disney.
McElroy the next.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we were the biggest ones there.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
The Ant and Dec cardboard cutout,
They've got a cardboard cutout of me, Chris and Lewis now, haven't they?
I was just going to say, did you leave one for them?
Yeah, we should send them one now, shouldn't we?
100% send them one. Talking about photographs, I've just received a lovely photograph in from Chris, your neighbour, Sean.
Yep.
Has sent me a photograph of when you were all very young.
Thanks, Sean. Wait till I get home. Thank you for that.
Very young, very spiky hair for all of you. I remember seeing them like this at my school when I was around five. So, yeah.
Ah. Yeah. Yeah. Don't make us feel too old.
Look really cool, though, guys.
Silver jackets.
Stripes down the arms. Nice jackets.
You can see the five influence, can't you? Then?
100%. Yeah, 100%. Okay, so tell me a little bit about Single. So, Give Me Tonight is the name of it.
Yeah.
Who wrote it? What's it about?
The song is actually about 20 years old.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a song we wrote a long, long time ago. And we recorded like a demo version of it, and it was very boy bandy. I mean, it was.
We probably recorded it when that picture was taken.
Yeah, but it was all kind of like, come on, girl. It was all very boy band and, harmonising and things like that. And probably twinkly keyboards rather than grand pianos and things like that. And then with a lot of our stuff, it got shelved.
The thing is, the way the McElroy thing came about again is because we did fall out, brothers being brothers, and we fell out for quite a few years.
I never fell out with you. You fell out with me.
Well, God, don't start this again. Yeah. Sure. You just reformed. Let's stay together.
I'll tell you what. Let's just blame Lewis because
he's not here. It's easier.
I'll just wait for the text again. Yeah. It's like an instant. He said he was working, but the instant responses are telling me otherwise.
Yeah, you should tell his boss then. Skiving on your phone, Louis. But yeah, we hadn't spoken for quite a few years, and for whatever reason, I ended up going round to Chris's, and it's one of them we'd not spoken for ages, and then we ended up immediately getting on, and it was just like it was back in the day.
Yeah.
And anyway, at his house for hours and hours, and then a couple of days later, Chris sent me a song idea on like a voice note, and I thought, he said, is there anything you can do with this? So I sat on the piano and then worked out.
Where was this piano, Steve?
It was where I work. I was supposed to be working, but instead I went and sat on the piano and then created a masterpiece. There's not many people can do that in work, though, is there? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You have to credit your boss at some point.
Yeah.
Thanks for
the time. Excuse me, Steve, one of these laptops needs repairing for one of the children. Just give me 10 more minutes. I'm just working.
What I actually said was, just give me tonight.
Yeah.
But anyway, I came up with something that would fit what Chris had sent me, and then I sent it back to him. I recorded it on my phone, sent it back to him. So Chris immediately rings me, when can we record it, because I had like a little studio in my house anyway, in one of the little bedrooms that I've got, and then he ended up coming round and we ended up working on this new song. It was If I Believed, that one.
I Believed, yeah.
If I Believe will be a song we eventually release, because it is, it's another one of those type songs. But that style, that big meatloafy, epic 80s, 90s rock style, it all seemed to fit. And because Chris's voice is the way Chris's voice is, it was just the way it was going to go, you know.
And we got, we were listening to it. I sang the whole track. And then when we were listening to sort of the demo vocals, I was saying, do you know what would sound really nice if you want to go full on sort of Meatloaf style? Get a female voice on there. So we knew a girl from Kimmel Bay called Bianca Taylor, and we got her in to sing odd lines on it. And when she started to sing as well, you know, when the hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you go, this has just took on a whole new life, this song. And and then she came and she laid the vocals down. But when we'd finished that song, which turned out to be probably better than both of us thought it was going to turn out, we were like, "What's next?" So
what it is when we've not been working with each other, you don't realise it till afterwards. This is going cheesy again now, but you don't realise it till afterwards that it's a bit like having something missing.
Yeah,
and then when it comes back, that's when you go, wow, I've not had this for years.
Yeah,
and it's a feeling, isn't it?
It opens up like a new toolbox.
Yeah.
And because Chris comes along with the voice, you think, right, all those ballads that I've had these ideas for years, we can just make them now.
Yeah.
So I think the way we look at the music now is you were to make it as big as you can make it with the tools that you've got. Yeah. I mean, Lewis is a fantastic songwriter. I'm bigging you up there, Lewis. You know, so send a nice text message.
So tell you the funny thing about Lewis is I'm the guitar player in the group, but Lewis made a lot of the guitar solos up with his mouth. And then he sings them to me and then makes me play it note for note. And they're a lot of the guitar solos that are on our track.
Yeah, the, people go, Chris is a fantastic guitarist, and Lewis is a bit like, I made it up.
I love that. Right, I'm going to hold here because we're going to go straight to the news and we're going to come back straight after. Blink 182, I pressed the button on that one, and Steve was like, another great tune.
Oh, I love them. I love them.
Songs from our childhood, aren't they?
Yeah. See, it's because we're all of a similar age, isn't it? Similar
That's
age.
It. The
I think
the best
is Steve older, anyway.
No, I'm not.
I've had loads of messages in, mostly from Lewis.
What now?
Oh, well, no, Little Mix Would Have Done It Better was the last one I had in, and asking...
He must be a Little Mix fan here, Lewis.
And also saying it's Steven Tyler here and asking Chris how he warms up his vocal cords. Is it appropriate for radio?
Just shout. You know, you get these singers and before they go on stage, they're giving all the kind of me. I'm just like, just get on there and shout it. It'll sound right.
It doesn't sound right, does it?
Yeah,
you use all those AIOU things, isn't there?
Yeah.
From, you know, that's like music 101.
Well, apparently, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis, does all this whoop. He makes like a sound of a dog.
What does he do, Steve?
Like a dog and a bird.
Me and Chris just basically literally just pause.
I'd love someone to just turn the radio on at that moment and all they get is whip.
Yeah, it sounds like a guinea pig.
Oh, I love that. So we are going to play your track shortly.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So yeah, everyone else is getting excited about Adele, but I'm getting really excited about listening to your track. So yeah.
One knows who Adele is, though, do they?
No,
really?
Who is she? Yeah. Hey, she went on Instagram Live the other day. I think you guys should go on Instagram Live. And Al said before, so Big Al from The Breakfast Show was in earlier, he said you've been filming some funny stuff for Facebook. What was that about?
Yeah, it was a recording session, because people seem to think when they listen to the music, because it's very big and it's very epic, the new stuff is anyway.
And quite serious.
And quite
as
serious,
well.
And it's all about love and heartbreak and all Amazing. These serious subjects. But they don't actually see what the process is of recording it. So me and Chris were recording in the studio the other day, and we decided to film what we were recording at the time. So it was more like me showing Chris how to record.
Yeah.
We had a special guest, didn't we? Marty Pello came in the studio.
Marty Pello talks a lot about something like that, doesn't he? And then you can't understand what he's saying. And then when he sings, it's like, I feel it in my fingers. That's it. Thank you very much. Like, how can that voice come out of him? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, I love Marty Pello.
He's brilliant, Marty Pello.
He did like a little live thing in one of the lockdowns on this morning, and he literally was like sat in his spare room just singing. And I was like, oh.
Was it like a four-poster bed?
Yeah, I watched.
I think I watched it.
Where the magic happens.
Well, we put a video on of him, and he was on the Clyde River, and he was like, I'm on the Clyde. And I was like, how does... Is that beautiful voice come out of him? You know what I mean? So
this was what was on this video on Facebook. I need to check it out.
Yeah, it's the reality of actually what we're really like when we're recording.
When you're recording a song, you can spend 50 tracks going, yeah, no, it's not, yeah, it's, yeah. No, do it again. That's wrong. Do it again. And before you know it, you've done it like 50 times. But on one single note, you're like, oh. So we thought we'll get the reality.
That's only if you want to get it perfect.
Of recording it. So, because we don't like auto-tune, do we, Steve?
No.
No auto-tune allowed in our studio.
Not in ours.
No, real music, right?
Yeah. But you can. You can sing one sort of verse in a song. And I'll say to Stephen sometimes, how many times have we recorded that? And it will literally be 110 times. And he'll say...
When we were kids, right, because I was always the producer, I'm a lot calmer now. When I was younger, I was very very aggressive when we used to record. I wanted it perfect. That's what it was. Me and Lewis, we used to kill each other. Kill each other.
Yeah. Not just recording in gigs. We had a few moments in gigs.
I remember
as well.
Doing a gig once with Chris and Lewis. So we're doing this song, whatever. I'm stood at the front playing the guitar with Chris. And suddenly Lewis just lobs his drumsticks at the back of my head. And then we we turned around and started fighting with each other. And people thought it was part of the show. No.
The highlight was they ended up through the drum skin.
Yeah,
they did. And there was, I'm stood there thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? So there was me and a couple of lads out of the audience. I think we had like Stephen by the legs and Lewis by the legs, dragging them apart. And the gig was over. But I think you did actually turn up about 20 minutes later and finish the gig.
Yeah, yeah. Was that professional? I had a black eye and he just carried on doing the gig.
Don't need teeth to sing.
And then when the gig's over, they both turn around and say, that's it, I'm never doing a gig with you ever again. I quit, it's over. And then the next weekend, we're back out gigging again.
So you say you wanted to be like the Jackson 5, actually, like Oasis and the Brotherly Fights on stage. Yeah. That's more what you were going for.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the Gallaghers would have nothing on us on a few of the run-ins we've had with each other.
No, what it is, because you're brothers, you know... You sort of subconsciously know you can fall out with each other and then, you know, an hour later you're all right with each other.
An hour later your mum will tell you off.
Yeah.
And then you have to be friends again.
Yeah. I remember once coming out of the studio, me and you had fell out.
Does that happen?
And Chris had made a pumpkin. It was around Halloween as well. Chris had made this pumpkin. Anyway, come out of the studio, me and him arguing over whatever it was, and I ended up kicking his pumpkin. Didn't I? Smashed it to bits. Yeah. And then Chris ended up kicking me up the bum and nearly broke your own foot. It's brilliant. I won both ways there.
I remember throwing the kick and as the kick connected with his bum, my mum and my grandma come walking in the driveway. So I look like this big, massive, aggressive lad assaulting my little older brother. So I think I got in trouble on that one as well. I was like, but he smashed my pumpkin.
I love that. It is though, sibling. I've got two brothers and there's been many, give me the remote. And then it lands on your face.
You're the fitness one, so you can take them.
Well,
can't you?
Well, yeah, I still was the girl. I was the girl with two brothers. Okay, so we're going to play your song shortly. Basically in a second. Is there anything else you want the listeners to know about your song, about how where they can find details of your music? Go.
Go.
Yeah, we're on Facebook. So everything is under McElroy Music. So Facebook.com/McElroy Music, Twitter.com/McElroy Music. Instagram is at McElroy Music.
Is it spelled McElroy?
McElroy is McElroy.
There you go.
And the reason is there's three of us.
Oh, see, I love it. It's like five again.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, there are actually three in five now, aren't there?
Yeah. It's awkward, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to stay as a three, otherwise you'll have to remove that three from the name.
Do you remember the big reunion was on and Jay was missing from five?
Yeah, it was four of them then. I went to see that.
Did you?
Yeah, I love it.
See, I'm jealous. But there were four and they were looking for a fifth member and I thought, there's my call in there. I wanted to be Jay from five.
If you see Stephen, he's the furthest from massive Jay from five.
What are you trying to say?
Well, you've got the voice. Go on, give us the Jay from five rap voice. Go on.
I'm going to take a little time to progress your mind because the boys are back in town with a different kind of funk. Who got the funk? We got the funk, right? Everybody got a boogie down tonight. Now throw your hands up in the sky. Something like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Welcome to our other act, Mav Mac.
I love that. Hey, Chris, do you want to give us a little sing-song or anything on air?
No, it's all right.
It's all right. Okay. Well, we'll hear you in a second anyway, won't we?
You'll be sick of hearing me by the end of this song.
I've loaded it anyway, so this should just pop up on everyone else's playlist for the rest of Sound Radio, so it's all good. The lads are like, yes, yes. We are going to play it next. We have to press a button, so I'm just going to like throw the keyboard over. Does anyone want to press the button?
I'll press it.
You will really have to show me. I was going to say, is this going to be like the Facebook video?
It is exactly the Facebook video.
I feel like this should be filmed. So all you have to do, Chris, is literally press this escape button here.
The escape button. That's that one there.
We should do a montage of people telling Chris what to do on the keyboard.
I have to get my wife to show me how to use my mobile phone half the time. I'm one of them throwing them. What do you press here?
Okay, so Chris, just the escape button.
You ready? Is everybody ready?
Is everyone ready?
This is it. Give Me Tonight by McElroy.
So that was McElroy and Give Me Tonight. So this was the first time I listened to this song and literally I've been like, this is amazing. I've just been humming along at the end, so I already know it. And I've just been complimenting the guys. I've just literally said, I think you'll all agree. One, Chris, beautiful vocals.
Well, thank you very much.
And I was loving the piano as well.
Thank you.
Lewis, you're great as well, but it's the boys that are here, so.
Lewis is all about the good looks, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is? You've got to have a good looking one.
He doesn't need to play the piano when he's got that face, yeah, when he looks like Patrick Swayze.
You just sit there and pout on the drums.
No, seriously, though, guys, that's like a great song. We were just chatting as well. I said, I honestly love the piano. And you were saying, weren't you, Steve, you know, you went full Meatloaf. And I said, we are missing artists, we're missing groups. So it's proper music with piano in and proper vocals. And
the thing is with music, again, although we're, you know, we're only the age that we are, we've been doing it so long. I always class as like we've been going as long as the Eagles, you know what I mean? Yeah. But you sort of learn, you're a veteran with the music. And what it is with that style of music, what you realise is when people get married or, you know, you want to go morbid towards the end of lives, all that, all the moments that matter in your life, songs like that tend to be the songs that people remember and they latch on to. So, you know, we always say we want to write like I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
Yeah.
I mean, that song, everybody, and people might be sick of it, but everybody loves that song.
Yeah.
You know, Celine Dion, what's a massive one?
All Coming Back to Me Now.
Yeah, I mean, if you wrote All Coming Back to Me Now, you've written one of the best songs ever written, ever. So the aim is to write those type of songs.
Yeah.
You can write catchy, poppy ones. You can write rocky, rappy ones if you want to. But it tends to be that style is so passionately emotional that it's such a deep feeling that's why it matters to so many people. And I think it is easier to write those songs when you play the piano because you can express it on the piano. So that's why a lot of these are sort of piano based. And then
I love hearing it though. I think piano is like missing off quite a lot of songs.
We're losing a lot of sort of. You get a lot of production these days. No offense, Steve. You know, but at least you
I play the piano.
No, but at
I'm
least
fine.
You can actually sort of, you know, sit and play a piano. And there's been a lot of places we've been where Stephen will just there's a piano there, like a hotel lobby or something. You know, so that art form is kind of vanishing, and if people aren't careful,
I think what it is with that is I do a lot of production, and I like loads of dance music, I like loads of rock music, I like rap music, I like every type of music. But what you tend to find nowadays is there are a lot of bedroom producers, and I'm not knocking the producers because people like Avicii, for example, absolutely amazing songs, but I think because a lot of them can't actually play an instrument, they can't sit there and just jam.
Yeah.
And it tends to be when you're jamming, the way I make up songs is I tend to sit mainly on the piano and just jam a load of stuff. And suddenly you'll come up with like a little magical riff. You don't know where it's come from. It just appears as you're playing it. And then you record it on your phone, the way I do it. And then you loop it and you just make up songs out of it then and tunes to go over the top. And I think it's that ability to be able to play the instrument in the first place allows those songs to appear. I Noel Gallagher says that. He always classes writing songs as sitting at the river with his fishing rod, waiting for the fish to bite.
Yeah.
He doesn't even class the songs as his songs. He classes them as just appearing out of the ether. But you've always got to be waiting there to catch it.
Yeah.
That's very deep, isn't it?
It was very deep.
Yeah, very deep.
Very good.
Do you know what, though? I think you're right about the kind of music, though. I, like, if you listen to my show, which hopefully you will after you've been on it this week.
Definitely.
So I play a complete array, and it is like a throwback to like 80s, 90s, all the kind of music I love. And one minute it'll be like a really deep song, like really, really great music. And the next minute it might be a dance track because I think it's really important that we have all of the music because there's a place and a time for all of it. But I do think those songs, you know, like Celine Dion and, you know, Adele has a song out today. She's one of those kind of artists as well. You know, and even Ed Sheeran, I know, like we were saying before, I play Shivers, like that was, Steve was like, that's not one of my favourites, okay. But, you know, even some of his music, some of them are pop and some of them are for the bigger moments. And I do think it's important that there are songs out there for those moments.
We were listening, weren't we, the other day? I went round to Chris's just to play something, and we were rehearsing something. Anyway, Chris was like, have you heard Bryan Adams' new song?
Oh, I love Bryan Adams. Like, love him.
I just bought tickets this morning for him for next year, yeah.
He's so good live. He's amazing.
But when you listen to Bryan Adams' songs, a lot of the 80s stuff is quite highly produced.
Yeah.
But the songs are very simple. They're very simple. And I think because they're simple, they connect quite easily with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's like an art form in itself to be able to do that. A lot of the 60s writers used to do that, where it'd be a three-chord jam, but because the melody's fantastic over the top.
Yeah.
That's why the song matters. And Bryan Adams is one of those that does that consistently good, no matter what he writes.
But they're all of an era, those particular artists, you know, your Bon Jovi's and your Bryan Adams's. They're all of a time where everyone was living on this kind of, you know, I want to go and watch a band play.
Yeah.
I don't just want to sit there and listen to... I mean, I like a lot of DJ music, but, you know, I don't want to just sit there and see some guy on a laptop. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to go and watch the guitar player throwing the guitar up in the air and the drummer throwing his sticks out, you know, and really going for it. And,
even if it is at the guitarist's head.
But, you know, and they're of that sort of age. But I don't think that music dies. Because I've been gigs before where there's been DJs, like David Guetta. If you go and watch David Guetta, halfway through his set, he puts Living on a Prayer on by Bon Jovi. And that's the biggest song he'll play all night.
Yeah.
And you think, you've got all these massive hits, but as soon as you put that Bon Jovi song on, the audience went mental for it. And I thought, see, that shows you the difference, I think, between what is a nostalgic sort of makes you feel energetic inside and, you know, I've got to sing out and I've got to go for this.
Yeah.
Rather than kind of go, it's a dance beat with someone talking.
But different, like you say, different styles, they do that in different ways. Like I like Chicane. Chicane has got, he's so good at songwriting, Chicane, although, you know, me talking the way I talk, it's a bit like, I don't like that type. I do. I love that type of music, but it has to be done perfectly.
Yeah.
I love Bon Jovi and Bryan Adams. Everybody knows I love Oasis.
Yeah.
It's like my favourite thing in the world.
I was just going to say that. Bon Jovi and Oasis, I would say, and Meatloaf, like a write-up for those songs, aren't they? Those songs where you're like, you know every word, like without even really knowing the words, they just stick with you, don't they? And the feeling you get from listening to that type of music.
Yeah.
Like Meatloaf, like I swear I used to know like all of the songs, but I didn't actually even know who Meatloaf was. I just used to love the songs when I was younger.
Yeah.
But again, it's that music, that emotion. So I think there are dance tracks that I absolutely love, but again, quite often it's because there's something more in it.
Yeah.
So I think this style of music definitely captures me. I mean, I am going to play it again before the end of my show, after you've gone, with my headphones on, because if I play it with my headphones on this loud, I was like, I can't listen. And we were chatting, so I was like, I can't listen properly because I might cry. Because it's that emotion, right?
Well, when we were recording the music video, there's a girl in our video, which you'll see when you watch it on YouTube.
Shout out to Tammy. Hi, Tammy
was amazing in the video. And she's the character she plays in the video, she's a bit like a ghostly figure that's sort of wandering around the castle in parts. Anyway, she turned up to do that. And most of the way through the video is her mum was with her. And because her mum was there, she was the smoke machine technician.
Yeah. While you stood there.
All that smoke you see in the video is Tammy's mum just stood there with the smoke machine in the background. But it's the first time she'd heard us play the song. I mean, when you're recording a music video, you're miming it along to the track. But it's the first time she would have heard the song. So I'm sat on the piano, Chris playing the guitar, Lewis is on the drums. And I could see her, first time she'd heard it, welling up.
Yeah.
Listening to the song. And I know it's, you know, it sounds bad saying, oh, it's good to see someone cry, but when you're the musician that's written the song, and that happens, that's like a magical feeling to have there. It means there's something in the song.
Yeah, it's the emotion that's generated, isn't it? And, you know, it's like when you see an artist sing, you want to feel that they're feeling it. Mm. So you need that emotion to be in the music and coming out of the artist. And I think that's definitely something you feel when you listen to yours. So what's next? So this is an amazing track. Have we got more in the bag? Have we...
We're actually planning the next music video for the first one that we wrote since we got back together, If I Believed. We're actually planning the next video for that. We're actually in the makings of it at the moment. So that'll be the next project. But we're always recording new songs all the time
Writing.
Yeah, so I'll probably be around Stephen's.
Well, we did one the other day. It's the one with the silly video that we've made on Facebook where we're recording it. Because even that, when we weren't together, we're all constantly writing stuff. Anyway, I had this sort of idea for a particular song. And then when Chris came along, we ended up sort of developing it into what it was. But that is still, it's still one of those sort of 80s-y sounding songs. But that is more like a It's My Life Bon Jovi thing.
Yeah.
It just eventually became that. So it was one of those that was always going to be, oh, that'll just be another song that we've got in the bag. But now that we've finished it,
yeah, we think it's a single.
It's amazing when you hear it.
And years ago, we used to be concerned. You'd get a lot of comments if you showed people songs and they'd say, sounds a bit Bon Jovi, or it sounds a bit Meatloaf. But since we've got a lot older, and you think, well, what's wrong with that?
Good compliment.
What is wrong with that?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know,
at least it doesn't sound like the Cheeky Girls.
Yeah, yeah.
No, what do you mean? I love them.
Yeah, the Cheeky Girls.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to leave you with that then. I was just about, how long is he going to carry on for? I do think, though, that's, like you said, it's a compliment, but also you're always going to take inspiration from artists and music that you love. That's kind of how music gets going through the years, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that everyone who's ever been a successful artist has been inspired by previous successful artists or things they've been around. That's the whole thing with music, isn't it? That it's music is just one thing, but it's just inspired by your life, your journey, other things you listen to. So, you know, that's a great thing. If you've been inspired by some incredible artists and some incredible music and you sound a little bit like a bit of each of them, amazing achievement.
We always say that. We're never a rip-off, like, directly of a song. It's any of our songs sound like somebody else's songs.
No.
It's just there are elements, especially, again, when we release this new one that we're doing, there are bits of It's My Life. There's a bit of Dire Straits in there, isn't there?
Yeah, by accident.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
Stephen
yeah.
sent me a piece of music because he WhatsApps me pieces of music. And the production on them is amazing. He's like, oh, I just worked on this last night.
Thank you very much.
You know, and it'll have like a full orchestra on it and a choir in it. And, you know, and he's like, can you make something up with that? So he sent me this, it was more of a guitar riff, like a bar chorded guitar riff. And when I was sat down listening to it, and I thought, no, if you have that kind of clashy note thing on the guitar, like Dire Straits do, like Money for Nothing and things like that. And I thought, if you add that over the top, it just adds a different dimension. So when I went round to Stephen's, I was like, well, why don't we try and put this over the top? And then before you know it, this basically what was a bar chorded song suddenly takes on another life.
Yeah.
You think, no, this is actually
and what happens when that happens as well, once those extra elements come in, it then sparks off like maybe a melody idea or...
Yeah.
I know this is quite techie. I know it might be boringly techie, but this is the way it works.
Yeah, and do you know what? There'll be people listening who are like aspiring musicians, can't speak, and who want this, you know, want this in their future, and this is really interesting to them, or people who wondered how it works. And actually, it's, you know, really interesting to hear about it. I'm going to play another song. I'm going to keep you a little bit longer because I feel like we haven't finished. So I'm going to play one more song, then we'll have another chat, and then I'll let you go home for Friday evening. But yeah, I just want to say that was a great song, but we've got Oasis next.
Yes.
A little bit of Oasis there with Wonderwall. So we're back with McElroy, and you are listening to... there we go. You're listening to Kel on Sound Radio 103.1 FM. And we still have a bit of time. We've got another couple of minutes. We'll be chatting with the guys here. So if you do want to text in any questions, or if you've just enjoyed listening to the radio with Kel and McElroy this afternoon, then the text number is 074-26-75-20-75. You can WhatsApp or text in. And again, like I said, we'll be chatting for another like 3 or 4 minutes. So if you want to send any questions in, I'll be able to get them in before the end. So we have just listened to Oasis, which is one of our favourites. We've got another favourite coming up. I think Chris has just put in the request for the next song we'll be playing.
Yeah.
So just before Oasis, we were saying, what is next for you? So are we gigging? Are we going out doing any live gigs again?
Yeah, the idea with the McElroy thing was just to record music at first and make up songs and let them out, and that was it. But I think because everything is sounding so good, in our opinion, at the moment, we do need to gig it.
So we're getting our live set together now.
Yeah.
And because the productions are quite big, it's getting it so the three of us are able to perform those songs in that style. So anyway, we're working on that,
yeah,
aren't we?
I was going to say, you're regretting it. You're like, why did we make this such a big production?
sometimes. Well, it's a weird thing when you're making up those lines. So you might do it bit by bit. And then at the end, someone will be like, oh, Chris will go, play it from the beginning. And I'll be like, I need to learn how to play it now. Yeah. But yeah, so we've been working on that recently because we do want to start going out gigging. We want to do a few festival-y type gigs.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, we were talking to Al before, weren't we, about festivals. And I think, one, because of COVID, everyone's massively missed live music. But two, especially that style of music would be perfect for festivals.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, literally just embracing all the live music and the emotion about it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So have we got any plans? So do we know where we're going? Or is it just like learn it for now, make a plan for next year?
Well, we're working on, like you said, we've worked on quite a few tracks that are finished, but we're always working on other tracks. Sort of when one track finishes, we've got another one. That's
what we've got a thing in the studio, because my studio is full of like retro movie posters.
Yeah.
So we've got
loads of horror
and aliens. I'm obsessed with aliens. So we've got Critters up there, haven't we?
Yeah. Fright Night has just come.
And what we said is, every time we finish a song, Chris is going to buy me a poster for the studio.
Well, hang on a minute. Did I say I was going to buy it?
Well, yeah. You bought me the last four.
You set the standard now. That's it.
Yeah. So we'll be working on new music. Like I said, we've got another music video that we're currently working on. And we did want to do a live performance video as well.
Yeah.
Where we even talked about, because the sound is so big, is getting maybe like another guitarist in and... Do you know what I mean? So we can sort of fill the sound, so we can play it as live as possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're always performing them live, just piano and vocals and you know shakers and things like that. But it would be nice to get the full impact. I mean, obviously, you're never going to be able to pull that sound off live because there's orchestras, you know, there's choirs in there, and you know, and unless you've got, you know, a 100-piece band.
I'm sure that can be sorted at some point.
Yeah. Depends how big we get.
If
we end up with number one, you know, for the next 14 weeks, you know, we might be able to.
Well, hopefully,
to pull that
hopefully
off.
Sound Radio listeners can kind of help out with that, maybe.
Yeah.
So, where can we find your single? So, where can we listen to it?
It's on all the major digital sites. So, we've got it on Spotify, Amazon, Apple Music, iTunes.
Yeah.
It's everywhere like that. The music video is mainly on YouTube. We've got a video upload on Facebook as well. But if you go to our Facebook page, which is McElroy Music, but McElroy MC3LROY, there are links to everything on there.
Brilliant.
So,
amazing. Okay, so thanks for joining. It's been lovely. I think you should come in. I think you should come in again. It's been like literally just like chatting as mates, isn't it? It's been like really cool. So, you are welcome. Every time you have a new single, let us know and just come on in and we can play it out for you. And you can, we might get Steve to press the escape button the next time.
I'm jealous.
I know, yeah. So, we are going to be playing McElroy's song again, probably around 5:30. So, if you do want to listen to it or you missed it before, then it will be playing again. But like Steve said, it is on all the popular platforms for listening, and their Facebook and everything is McElroy with a 3 as the E. Yes. Brilliant. So thanks, guys, for coming in. Have you had a good time? Hold on. What was that hesitation? Awkward.
No, it's been amazing. Thank you very much. It's been brilliant.
Like I said, if you ever want to come back, you're always welcome. Pop in for a brew on a Friday between 3 and 6. You're always welcome. Okay, so next up, we've got Goo Goo Dolls. So this was Chris's request, and this is Black Balloon.
The big sound of North Wales. Sound Radio.